for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday afternoon, September 29th, 1998. Feast of Tabernacles Convocation being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Butch Taylor of Slaughter, Louisiana is the speaker of the afternoon.
I used to love to fish and got saved, and I didn't ever change my desire to fish, but I just use a different tackle today. Amen. You know, but when I go somewhere to preach, I like to kind of see what kind of terrain I'm around, to see what the water looks like, and to see what type of tackle I need to use, to see what I'm going to catch, you know. And I got a little grandson that I'm really excited about, and he's 3 years old, and his daddy carried him fishing last week. And, you know, right before a storm comes, always fishing is really good. And carried him fishing, and he caught 5 catfish. And they was about like that. They took pictures of it and said, Popo, they're this big. So, I mean, you know, living close to Texas, sometimes that can happen. Carried him fishing the next day, and they caught 15 bass. And he caught a 5-pound bass, and he got away. And when I left Louisiana, he was still crying. But we're going to try to channel his skills there in fishing into catching men. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, it's awesome to be before you guys today, because I feel like anybody could be up here standing doing here that's capable of doing what I'm going to do, is just minister the word. And because the word is simple, you know. It's not complicated. It's not complex, you know. And I know that's a fact, you know. And if you think it's complex, let me just tell you this. I was born in Alabama, and I repented. You know, and God made a preacher out of me, okay? But I want to ask a question. How many ministers do we have today? Just show your hands. Just ministers. Okay. Now, the ones that didn't raise a hand, I got a question for you. Are you not a minister because you possibly don't have a license? Is that what you're saying? You know. I want to read you a scripture. If you would, go with me. And hope you don't mind. I always, when I do use another translation other than the King James, I always bring the King James with me, because I've got in places they said, oh, that man's in heresy. So I'm going to use the New Living Bible just for a few minutes here, and then I'll go to the King James. But if you would, what I want to do today is kind of hitchhike on some of the things Brother Tommy said to us last night. And he said some good and powerful things. And, you know, if you wasn't here last night, I think just about everybody was here. There was a lot of meat put out there, you know, and I think there's a lot of meat that hadn't even been digested. I think a lot of men are walking around today just kind of belching, you know, and trying to get it down, and, you know, and I believe some of them are going to take it back and microwave it and chew on it for a while. But I just want to kind of hitchhike on what some of the things that he said. But if you would, turn with me into Ephesians. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, I can feel an anointing coming in this place. I can feel an anointing right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, glory. Praise God. You know, I was taught that when you stand to minister, you should minister. And then if you minister 20 minutes, you should use the next 2/3 of your time ministering to the people. You know, and normally I like to minister about 1.5 hours, but because of the conditions today, I'm not going to preach that long, if that's all. Yeah. But,
I got that much tape.
You got that much tape? No, but, you know, I want to minister the word for just a few minutes, and then I really believe the ministry is to one another. You know, I feel like God's wanting to do some things, and he's wanting to say some things. This brother that's in the back right there with the beard, and Lord spoke to me last night and showed me some things about you, and he told me to tell you that there's changes are coming. Changes are coming, says God. And he said, I'm going to do some changes. He said, men's already tried to change the outside. He said, but that's not me. He said, I'm going to change the inside. Don't worry about the outside. God's going to carry you to a place, and he's going to carry you to a new place. But changes are coming. You be expecting changes, he said, because when you change your heart, I have changed you, says God. Oh,
hallelujah.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. This brother right here from Plano, right? Plano. You know, I was praying, and I just saw that there's some new ministry coming for you. And I see that God's fixing to open up some doors, and I see some avenues are fixing to open up, and you're going to start doing some traveling. You're going to start being absent on even on some Sundays that you normally wouldn't from the pulpit. And God's got some places that he's fixing to take you. He's going to got some places he's going to start enlarging your tent, enlarging your ministry. And so what he wants you to do right now is to tell you to get to start mentoring some men in your church that will be able to take over your position where you won't have any problems while you're gone. But right now, it's a time of mentoring that you really need to get strong in that area where you'll be able to go out. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Greg, last night when I was laying in the bed, I was praying for you, and the Lord just showed me some things, and he told me that he's wanting to teach you some new things about love. And he says, the way you love things is like you run over and you grab a dry oak leaf, and you grab it, and you just squeeze it to death, and when you open your hands back up, it's just crumbled. And you leave a lot of people crumble, says God. But he says, but I'm going to teach you a new way of ministering to people. He says, I'm going to start putting a spirit of compassion in you, and you're going to start moving with compassion, and you're going to start seeing the Holy Ghost move before you, and that Holy Ghost is going to move in and start ministering to these people, and as that Holy Ghost goes forth, he's going to moisten, he's going to wet, and he's going to anoint. And then as that anointing, as that dew comes early in the morning, then that leaf that is so dry where God could send you to minister is going to start absorbing that moisture, says God. And he says, then it's going to be pliable. It's going to be flexible. He says, but I am going to use you. He says, now wait, saith God, until that spirit of compassion comes where I can use you, saith God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This brother right here, it don't matter where you're from. I got a word for you anyway, but I'm just going to ask you where you're from. Where's the home you just left from? Fort Worth. Okay. That's just me asking that. I mean, God knew before I even asked you. That's just me. But I see some things are fixing to happen. I see that you're going through some steps in your ministry, in your own personal ministry, and God is fixing to step you off into a plateau. And because there's some things that have not really been developed in your mind as they should be developed in your heart. Not that it's error. Not that it's wrong. But God says, now I'm going to walk you through a test, saith God. And he says, then we'll get to the end of that plateau. He says, I know you because I put these things in you. I put these potentials in you. And he says, you're going to fulfill those areas. Then you're going to go to another plateau. He says, so think it not strange when you hear the word coming to you and it doesn't affect you. He says, because I'm working on you where you've already been, saith God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, glory. I got y'all in Ephesians yet?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me get started here, and I'm not going to keep you long. Thank you, Lord. Go with me to Ephesians. I tell y'all, Ephesians, go with me to chapter 4. And I'm reading now the New King James, the New Living Translation. I don't really care for it, but there's times when it just really is soothing to the Word. Amen? You know, have you ever walked up into your wife's eyes and just look into her eyes and say, boy, I could just drown in you, you know? And there's times when that living word, just that's just the way it goes. I could just drown in it, amen? Just can't get enough, hallelujah. It says, starting off in verse 9, it says, notice that it said, he ascended. This means that Christ first came down to a lowly world in which he lived. The same ones which came down is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that this rule might fill the entire universe. Verse 11. So is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. I want to talk to a select few right at this time, because a select few earlier did not raise your hand. The Word says that God calls them apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And in verse 12 it says, to teach the saints to do the work of the ministry. So every person sitting under my voice, no matter if it's on tape, where it goes, if it goes around the world and comes back from around the world, they are called to do the work of the ministry. Well, I see right now y'all don't know much about preaching. And back in Louisiana, I have to teach my people just like I have to teach them. And when I don't get an amen like I should, I do it like this, you know. And I've got a man that's going to make me a sign, and we're going to hang a sign up in the top of the church that's going to say applause. And when you lack an applause, I'm going to point to that sign. Amen. So the Bible says that God is going to take every person and put a purpose in them, and that purpose is going to be to the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Every person in here, when I ask this question again, are you a minister, should say, yes, I am. Raise your hand and be happy about it. I am called, hallelujah. I'm ready to be released, hallelujah. I'm ready to go that step that God has called me to go. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
You know what God's getting ready to do? See? He's getting ready to call an anointing upon the people. You know, one of the things that we, the church, are hearing a lot of today, and Brother Gene has heard me say this many a time, the church will say, let's pray for revival. You know what my answer to pray for revival is? No. I ain't praying for revival. You know why? Well, everybody wants revival. Yeah, anywhere I can go, I can get revived, I go. If I hear about a revival, I'll go to that revival. But we pray for revival not knowing what revival is. You know what revival is? Revival is when you're able to minister to everybody that comes in that door today. If we were to bring in an extra 100 people in our church this Sunday, and every one of those people got saved, the next Monday they would be gone. They would be out there wandering. They would be running here, running there. Why? Because we don't have the saints doing the work of the ministry that the pastors are supposed to be teaching them to do, and they'd be back out wandering again and be lost. No, I don't pray for revival because the people are not ready for revival. They want a touch from God, but they don't want revival. They don't want to turn around, and they don't want to seek God's face.
Hallelujah.
You know, my sister, blood sister, Brother Gene taught, and Sister Arlene taught her deliverance, and she said, Brother, she said, big as you are, and you come from the Taylor family, you got a lot of demons, and you need to get right. I said, well, if I got them, I want to get right. And she said, well, go on over at Brother Gene's house, and they'll give you a paper bag and you can spit them up in them. I went by Walmart and I got me a big one. And I went over, I was ready to get rid of them. Amen? Let me tell you about demons. A lot of people don't want deliverance.
That's right.
You know, I was telling Greg about a fellow that I had ministered to in the Hell's Angels one time, and not ministered to him, I just talked to him, and at a funeral that he had come to, a fellow had gotten killed in a motorcycle accident, and he came up there, and I asked him, I said, why you got that cross around your neck? I said, you know, Hell's Angels are not supposed to believe in Christ. He said, I don't believe in Christ. He said, but one thing about it, I am not harassed with so many demons when I wear this cross around my neck. See, he didn't want deliverance. He just didn't want as much harassment as a lot of people are getting. And I mean, this is something. You know, I had a problem. I was going through a hard time one time, being in the ministry. And I went to my sister and I said, listen, I'm having a problem with caffeine. I drive from Cracker Barrel store to Cracker Barrel store, filling up my cup of caffeine and coffee. And I'm getting ready. I want to get set free of it. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. All coming on, y'all. You know, one thing I learned about in school ministering, you know, they say to keep your hands above your waist. You know, but if you don't do it just right, I'm going to tell you, you're missing a good chance to say amen. Amen. But so I went to my sister. I said, pray for me because you've been going to Brother Gene's and Sister Earlene, and I don't have time to go this week. I need to get set free from caffeine. But let me tell you about my sister. Now, my sister had a lot of head knowledge, but not a lot of heart knowledge. 14 inches of problems where a lot of people in the church are today. They got it up here, but they don't have it down here. So she said, okay, brother, what do you want, Bubba? And I never did like that. I didn't mind being called Bubba until we got a president. She said, what you want, Bubba? And I said, I want to get set free from caffeine. And, you know, but then I knew that she had a nicotine problem. And what, did she pray for me? No, she went back in the kitchen and made me a pot of coffee. Now, what was causing me problems was causing her problems because she knew when I got set free, I was wanting her to get set free. You know. So a lot of people don't want to get set free. A lot of people just don't want all the harassment. Amen. I find and I have more problems with ministry than anybody else. Hello. Well, maybe if you're not a minister, you might not have missed a good chance to say amen. Yeah. But I have more problems with ministers. But what's happened to the ministers? The ministers are not getting set free. And today I want to talk to you about some ministerial demons that will affect your ministry. Is that all right? All right. So, what God's wanting to do, He's wanting to set us free. And I'm not going to take too long here. I think I've already taken more time than I should have. Turn with me I didn't finish it in Ephesians, but turn back to me. I'm going to finish up in the King James in Ephesians. Well, I want to show you some things here in Ephesians that is causing the ministry problems, if I could. In Ephesians, well, let's don't go back there. Let's go over to Exodus. Let's just go to Exodus. Exodus. God was just kind of speaking to me last night, and I just feel like there's some things that I want to show you in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 12. Hallelujah. You know something that works every time? You put a string there where you want that page to be, and you go back to that string, that page is be where you mark it every time, and I always forget it. In Exodus chapter 12, I want to read something to you. I want to start off in verse 1, and it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of the month, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, and say in the tenth day of this month that they shall take to them every man a lamb. Say it, everybody. Look to somebody and say, take a man a lamb. Just take a man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for a house. You know what he's saying? Take Jesus home. That's just as simple as this. Just take Jesus home. Amen. Now, let's look at verse 5. And in verse 5, he says, in verse 4, he says, And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, and every man to his eating shall make you court for the lamb, make you count for the lamb. So what's it saying? If your whole family can't eat the lamb, share the lamb.
Yes.
Now, I believe this right here worked there because, see, one thing, when we start studying the Bible, we got to study it figuratively and literally. Literally. See? So this was literal here, but figuratively, I see a problem right here. In this verse, I see a problem because it says, let me tell you something. Jesus is enough. But I think what happens here, as we read on, we're going to find a problem. Because I think there's a lot of times this problem starts happening in families is because they're not taking the lamb themselves.
Right.
See, we like to tell our neighbors about Jesus, but we don't like to show our neighbors about Jesus. You know, so he's saying, if the house is too small, share your lamb. And there's nothing wrong with sharing Jesus, but there's times who kill that lamb. Only one person can kill that lamb. And so a lot of times, because people are not sacrificing their lamb, they go back under and they say, well, my mama was a Christian, my daddy was a Christian, and my mama lived a good life, so, and I'm a good man. You ain't sacrificed no lamb. You know, somebody else killed your lamb. You're eating a lamb that belongs in somebody else's house. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Listen, let's start to go down a little bit deeper. He says, and your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it out from the sheep and out from the goat, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of it the blood and strike the two on the side post of the upper side post and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat. You know what? If you're going to have Jesus, it's all right to put you some bumper stickers on your car. I mean, if you don't have Jesus, it's all right to put signs and symbols and icons all over your house. Amen? It's all right if you got a knocker on there, put something on your door knocker, tell people about Jesus. You know why we get so many demons in our houses? And this is kind of a little lanyap. If you don't know what lanyap is, that's Louisiana for a little extra boot. You know. So, but you know why we have so many demons a lot of times? See, we don't tell the devil to stop. You know, I go to my mailbox and I say, devil, you're not coming across this bloodline right here. I go to my telephone and I say, telephone, you're not going to send any harassing phone calls into me. I rebuke you and I send you back from whence you came. I speak to my telephone lines that come in the house, my electric lines, and I say, you're going to send me good, positive electricity. If you ain't got good, positive electricity, you can burn your washing machine up.
Right.
So send me good stuff, and only good stuff is coming in.
Amen.
You know, so it's my house. So devil, I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to lift up God, and I'm going to see something happen here. Listen, let's go a little bit deeper. So he says in the seventh verse, he says, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper door post of the house, whereof in it they shall eat. Verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now, it says here, I'm going to just slow down. It says, and they shall eat the flesh. What's the flesh? Flesh is the lamb. And they said, shall eat the flesh in the night, roast it with fire, and unleavened bread, and with the bitter herbs they shall eat it. You know, it's talking about bitter herbs. Talking about those bitter herbs. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the unleavened bread, and Tommy talked a little bit about it last night. We're going to go over in Corinthians chapter 5 in a little bit and talk about the unleavened bread. But let's talk about some bitter herbs. What is bitter herbs? Bitter herbs. Let me read you something that I went in Brother Glenn's library this morning, and I looked this up. It says, remember them of Israel, the bitter lot in Egypt, prior to Exodus. They ate those bitter herbs prior before they left Exodus when they was in Egypt. And now, those bitter herbs are made up of horseradish and lettuce and endive. And endive is what was kind of like a dandelion. And it's you know, do you realize that the bitter herbs was always eaten before the meat? Do you realize that's where we get our salads today? You always eat your salad first. Your salad represents bitter herbs. So there was bitter herbs in there, and they was and it was a personally done. The bitter herbs was personally done, each one of them, and they ate those bitter herbs. You know, why the bitter herbs? You know why we have so many problems in the ministry today? Because we got some bitter ministers. They're bitter. They're bitter. You know. But you know what? They don't do. They don't eat enough lamb. If you got bitter herbs, eat more lamb. come through Arkansas about 10 years ago and said, eat more possums. It ain't eating more possum, it's eating more lamb. Eat more lamb. Eat more lamb. See those bitter things? See those bitter things is those little bitty foxes that spoil the vine. It's those bitter things that cause us to get upset. It's those bitter things that causes us not to grow. See, you know, for you guys, I'm talking to you only that didn't raise your hand. There's times when I tell my wife, I said, God, this ministry is something. And she'll turn to me and she'll say, that's what you wanted to do. And I said, yeah, give me some more bitter herbs. I'm going to go hunt the lamb. You know, since I became a Christian and a pastor, I love Greek and Lebanese food. I have learned to eat the lamb. Man, that's what we need to do. I mean, you know, we have a lot of problems today, and a lot of pastors won't communicate with another. Why? They're bitter. See, lack of communications, and we dealt with somebody here earlier. I called that out. I looked in my notes. The lack of communication is a demon. And most of you pastors, it's actually pastoring flocks that maybe don't have a church right now, but the first thing you'll see, when you'll see married couples come in and they're having a problem, and after you talk to them a while, you find out there's no communication. Bitter herbs. They're holding old things. They're holding on to those old things, and they're letting those old things minister to them. And so, but the thing about it is, we eat the bitter herbs first, and then endure the lamb. Eat more lamb. Heard somebody say, eat more lamb. Amen. I need more lamb, don't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there's a lot of those things. There's bitterness, and so they were having a hard time. And let me tell you something. I remember a lot of things that happened to me before I was in the ministry, but it's behind me. Amen. Hallelujah. The lamb took it away from me. The lamb changed my diet. The lamb has changed my palate. Things don't taste the way they used to be. Things don't bother me the way they used to be. You know why? It's the lamb.
Amen.
It's the lamb.
Yes, amen. Now,
it's the lamb. Having a problem? Eat more lamb. Having a problem? Eat more lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Having a problem? Get you another dose. Hallelujah. Just need a little bit more lamb. A little bit more lamb. You know, some of the things that I know that demons that affect ministers is in the ministry is malice. We got a fellow that down in South Baton Rouge got a little mission down there. You might know him by JS Ministries. You know, people tried to minister to him 10 or 12, 15 years ago. And what happened to him? He failed because he was untouchable. You know, it takes conventions like this for men to come up and say, preacher, I got a problem. Pastor, I got a problem. Brother, I got a problem. Come pray for me. You know, I got some bitterness. I got some bitter herbs. I need some more lamb. Need a little bit more lamb. Need to get some more lamb in me.
Amen.
Listen, malice is one of the big things. You know, wickedness. There's a lot of wickedness in the ministry. A lot of wickedness in the ministry.
Malice. Brother Barnett did a word study on it. It comes out rancor. It means you think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Eat more lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. Two things. If you stink, eat more lamb and try right guard. But you know, that's what we got to do.
Amen.
We got to eat more lamb. You know, God wants to minister to us. How we do it? Eat more lamb. Wickedness. I want to talk to you a little bit about wickedness. I have seen some wicked pastors in my life. I've seen some wicked preachers in my life. Last week I was on vacation, and as soon as I came back into town, and I didn't even tell Brother Gene about this on the way up, not that it was a great news, it was terrible news, but the pastor has got the next church north from me. They arrested him last week for prostitution. Not that he was in the house of ill repute, but he had a hotel and had prostitutes in the hotel that he was having them go out and minister for him. You know, when my people who are called by my name will repent and fall on their face and ask God to forgive them, then, after repentance, will he heal our land. We need to repent for those men that's out there, that's in those situations. That preacher needs deliverance.
Yes.
He was taking, he had two, big ministry, taking two, Greyhound buses, and he would take them to Mexico and take these kids ministering down in Mexico. And while the kids was down there ministering, he would go out and they'd have all these guys that were stealing stuff. And I don't know what they were stealing, but they were stealing stuff and loading it into buses because they don't check ministry buses when it crosses the U.S. border back in the United States. You know, he's going to go to federal prison. What did he do? He didn't eat much lamb. See, we need to eat more lamb. See, he allowed the bitters to work on him, but didn't eat no lamb. I want to close with this. Turn with me over into Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians. I got a reason to tell you just go to Corinthians. You might get there before I do. Then I'll tell you what chapter to go to. Hallelujah. In 1st chapter of Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 5, it says, to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your glorifying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sanctified for us. Verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast. You know what he's saying? We're supposed to be here today. I mean, you're ordained to be here today. What it says? It says, let's keep the feast. We're here feasting, aren't we? We're here feasting for the Passover. He says, verse 8, let me find it again. He said, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with a leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You know, I really believe that there's times, even we as preachers, we don't tell the truth. I believe there's times, even as preachers, we do some lying. There's times my wife often gets on to me and she says, Butch, exaggeration is a lie. It's a lie. I believe all of us come to a point of exaggerating or lying. And God wants to set us free from that. He wants us to be totally free. Amen? We're going to have to eat some more bitters. You know, I think the problem with a lot of the church today is they want to spit the bitters out and just get Christ. Oh, Lord, I just seek your hand. They don't seek his face. They want to seek his hand. They don't seek sanctification and righteousness and holiness. They seek prosperity. Lord, just reach out and touch me. Lord, bless me. Bless me. Oh, Lord. How many needs a $20 blessing? Y'all come on up right now. Poor people, I can give you some $10 blessings, you know. Hey, but see, they're not seeking the face of God. They're seeking the hand of God. Whoever said that, that's right. Abomination. Abomination, abomination, abomination. Eat more lamb. Eat more lamb. Hallelujah. Glory. I tell you what I want to do. I feel like there's some malice that might be hidden. I feel like there's some wickedness. I feel like there's some lying. I lift my hand and say, I need some deliverance from exaggeration. I'll exaggerate. But I'll exaggerate to the point where it's not a lie. Huh. You know, I can't do that, brother. Well, I must be the one that need to hop in that chair first then, huh? But you know what we need to learn to do? Is eat them bitters. That problems that we're having, those situations that we're having. I remember when I was in Bible school and there was a statement made. And it says that out of the percentages, and we've been, you talked about this last time I saw you over in Houston, Brother Tommy. So then the percentages of ministers that have finished Bible school, institutions, and college, only 3% are in the ministry today. Think about that. Only 3% are in the ministry today. Why? They've got problems, and they can't face them. You are an elite group. You are an elite group. To allow God to say, hey, here's your place that you can come and you can get set free. Here's your place that you can come and get set free, and you can take this teaching back to your home and to your community. You're an elite group. I mean, every one of you ought to just slip your hands up and say, thank you, Lord, that God has provided a place where we can come and be ministered to. Lord, I just thank you today for the opportunity just to be able to stand before these men. Father, just touch and minister to them right now. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we don't want to stop there. It's not the honor and the homage that we want to give God. We want to give him the praise who the Lord has set free us free indeed. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to do this different today, and I don't know the normal format, and if I mess up, I'll submit it to my pastor right over there. I'll let him straighten it up. No, I'm just more or less making a joke. If you got a problem, you know you got a problem, come down right now. Just come on down. You got a problem. You got a problem. Now I'm just going to turn back over. Brother Glenn, appoint someone that you know to each one of these men. Just start appointing. I'm going to take this big fellow here because I can wrestle him like a bear. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory. Hallelujah. Wade, we do things, saith the Lord, when we're young. Because sometimes we look to the left and sometimes we look to the right, saith God. And then sometimes it's hard as we walk and as we plow. And as we keep the handles of the plow up high to keep the point down deep, to dig, to move, and to roll out that fertile dirt. And he says, sometimes it's high, saith God. Sometimes we walk on the dirt that's just fallen. Sometimes the dirt will fall upon our feet and cause us to stumble. But we're plowing. We're plowing, saying God, and you're making that furrow, saith God. He says, now turn your head back to the right. Now turn it back to the straight. Now pick you out my son that sits at the end of that row, and walk toward him, saith God. These things are in the past. These things are in the past. He says, now, prepare to leave again. Prepare to go out again. I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing that's in you. And not only am I doing it in you, saith God, he says, I'm doing it in those that you love that's in your household, saith God. It's going to be done in them. I'm bringing them back around. I'm changing them, saith God, because you are going back out, saith God. You're going into a new area, saith God. Hey, go freshen up your passport, saith God. That passport's getting wilted. That passport is getting stale. Don't let it get stale on you, saith God, because you will go back out. I didn't bring you this far to discard you because I'm going to carry you. I'm going to minister to you because I'm going to use you as a foundational man. I'm going to use you in foundations, and I'm going to use you mightily, saith God. So think it not strange when these thoughts have come to your mind. Think it not strange when these thoughts have come to your head. He says, but Steve,
But he says, but brother, you're already set free. But brother, you're already walking in your liberty. The thing about it is, you just need to open up your eyes and quit stumbling and say, it's God, and walk toward me. And quit thinking about the past, but think about the future. Because you're the one I called. You're the one I called. And I could have never used a man that could not commit, admitted that he did something that was in left field. He says, but I'm going to use you, saith God. I remember you, saith God, and I've called you, saith God. I've not removed that calling, saith God. I am refiring that calling. So now surrender, go and do it, saith God, because I have got that calling, I've got that urge, and that urge is coming back. I have called you and renewed you and refired you and rejuvenated you this day. Now go, saith God. Father, I come against a lying spirit, and I call a lying spirit out that's setting him free right now, that has caused him to wonder, to cause him to be here, be there, never where is he satisfied, but he's always looking for satisfaction in you. Today, Father, I thank you that you're ministering to my brother in a special way. Look at me, brother. You're okay. You're okay. Just lift your hands and praise him. Now, just eat you some more lamb. Just have you a little bit more lamb, saith God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn this way.
Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Oh, great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Mighty indeed. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee.
Sing it!
Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee.
Hallelujah.
Nothing is too difficult for thee. Oh, great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed.
Mighty indeed.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.